What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another great episode of The Stoop, where we talk hoops, hoops, and more hoops. I'm your guy, TJ. I want to say salute and thank you to everybody who tunes in, no matter what platform you get the content from, YouTube, all the podcast platforms. Thank you so much for your likes, shares, follows, retweets, the whole nine, man. Thank you. Thank you so much, and continue to follow us, man. We got some great stuff coming soon. Big shout out to our sponsors. First and foremost, we're going to start with our guys at 24/7 Hoop. Listen, if you need a customized ball with your logo, your print in it, my guy Dave at 24/7 Hoop got you. And listen, hopefully everybody's getting vaccinated. Listen, them teams, them leagues, them AU tournaments, you're going to need a ball like this to set you apart from everybody else, man. Hit up 24/7. They got you covered. Secondly, man, listen, right now, summertime's coming up soon. If you need something to drink, something nice and smooth, Yave Tequila is the brand for you, man. It comes in that regular old-fashioned agave flavor. Comes in that mango and also comes in that habanero, a.k.a. jalapeno, man. Pick up some of that Yave today. Shout out my guy Joe. Shout out my guy Ron. Love it, love it, love it. Got to introduce my player partner, my brother from another, the co-founder of The Stoop, my good friend, my brother, Kev P. Say what's up to the people, bro.
You already know what it is. I'm just happy to be here.
Hey, Kev P., listen, man, coming to The Stoop today is one of those ones, man. I had to come... the honor and the privilege to go at him a couple of times. I ain't even played with him in my days living in the Beam, man. But since then, this kid has gone on to some bigger and better things, man. You've seen him on media outlets. His social media is crazy. You've seen him on ESPN and so many other things. He comes from a basketball family, man. And right now, man, his level of basketball is something we ain't seen since the early 2000s. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Stoop, Mr. David Thompson, a.k.a. Mac.
Yo, yo. What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Mac, just in case you didn't know, you need to know what's going on.
Absolutely, man. So I'm going to call you Mac because that's what I know you are, and I know that's what Jay called you. So you're going to be Mac on the episode, and that's what you are. So, Mac, check this out, man. I want to know, coming from a basketball family, who first put the rock in your hand, bro?
It would be my older brother, Jay.
Okay. Got you. Yeah. Got you. So talk about that, man, because we know he's a guy that grinds and loves to play ball, man, but growing up, what were some of your growing pains and some of the lessons that you learned from hooping against your big bro, Jay, man?
Oh, man. Honestly, it was a lot, man, because he was a serious baller, and he always had that passion. He always had that drive. He was very recognized for his game and his talent from being able to shoot beyond the three-point line before it was a thing that everybody does now.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, he was a great player that people admired and liked to run with. So me literally being the next brother, next person after him, I was kind of in that shadow. Like, he was trying to teach me the game and show me different ways and everything like that. There's more to come with that because he's actually a part of the pivotal change in my life too. So it's like, it's a good balance. So he played high school ball. He was all scholastic. It was tough though, because I feel like in a way I had big shoes to fill. And then once I became older and became my own, developed into my own player, then I started to see the difference. But before then, it was kind of tough, man, because I could never beat him one-on-one. In that sense, the big brother stuff, he's never going to let you get a game. So
right,
it was always tough with that one. But, man, it was definitely some hard moments playing hoop with the sock in the hanger on top of the door, going to the parks, and I wasn't able to play, so he had me dribbling along the sidelines. I was that kid. So that's what it was like with my brother, though.
Definitely, Mac. Before I give it to my brother, Kev P, man, being in the Bean and being in that part of New England, man, has a rich basketball culture, man. Talk about that impact to you, man, and what stuck out to you growing up as a kid with the Celtics and the Seas and the legacy and the winning. And just not only that, though, man, but in the summer and the spring months, how y'all get down on the outdoor courts and in the gyms too, bro.
Oh, absolutely, man. Being out there in Boston, there's like this grit. Like, there's a lot of players who play with that grit. They have that hunger. And more so, they play with the chip on their shoulder because, for the most part, a lot of players want to make it out. But then you have the regular dudes that just ball just to go to work. Like, their only purpose is to go to work on every game. So it was always tough to kind of balance that because everybody wants to do something. That's the fight. Everybody wants to do something. There's nobody that wants to have a slacking game. So it was definitely tough in there. And that whole environment, like, everybody wants to win. Everything was competitive. It's tough to always grow in that. And I think as far as like the Celtics and the legacy, that's just something that comes with the nature of the city. Like, we are very big supporters of the Celtics, and people always stand by it. People ride with it. As you see, you know, when we win, we win, and we take that to the grave. And then when we lose, you know what? We take that to the grave too. Like we're very diehard fans over here, from the Celtics side to the Patriots. That's just, and Red Sox. Like that's how we get down.
Go ahead, Cass.
That competitive nature that you just talked about is obviously something that grew from getting beat up on basically by your brother, as you alluded to. I myself had that same rites of passage and having to beat up on my brother. Talk to me about that first time that you finally got the best of him, if it ever happened, and what that was like.
Yeah, man. It took some years. I'm not even gonna lie. It was never easy. Because as T can tell you, yo, like my brother's a very smart player, very smart. He knows how to read the game. He knows how to pick people apart. And there were certain things that he did that made me want to elevate my game more. And it's not by him physically. It's literally by him mentally. Because mentally, he's a smart player. I played on his team many times. And we won championships. To actually be honest, every time we've played together in a league, every time we played together in leagues, we won the championship. Like we mesh really well together. We're very smart, we're very methodical when we play. But then I got to a point where I'm like, you know what, I don't want to be that shadow anymore. I want to be my own point guard. I want to lead my team. And it took me some lumps and bruises to get it, because he wouldn't guard me. And at one point I'm like, he's not guarding me because he's just scared to guard me. You know, you have that chip. Like, obviously, I know I have the handle. So I'm like, he knows it's going to go down. But then on top of that, he would put a faster player on me, boxing one me every game with that player. And he always caught the edge, because I can't do nothing if I can't give the ball. He's doing a boxing one. My team's not setting screens for me to get open. I'm getting frustrated. So then in those games, he got the best of me, because it's like, now I realize that it's not a physical game. It's a mental game. So once I was able to break that, then that changed. And then I use my teammates. I communicate more. Then after that, I've been, I'm playing my game. I'm comfortable with the way I play. So it felt great when I actually got wins over him, championships on my own team. Like it felt great, dog.
So that in itself became a game within the game. And you learn to figure these things out. And if I'm not mistaken, this probably makes it more fun to finally beat up on your brother and do it in a way that you overcame some of the things he put in front of you, these obstacles. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go ahead and laugh at some of these things, because you have Mr. Politely Disrespectful. I get great joy from watching that, because I do some of that same thing. Like you, there's such joy that once you finally get to that point, you feel like you beat your brother. You feel like you beat anybody now. So
honestly, man. And it's funny. There's like, I have a video. I'm not gonna put it out there, because it's one of those things that's a sore spot for me. It was in a championship game. I'm on fire. I think I had like 28 points that game, but I'm hitting everything. Like my form was terrible on camera. Like I'm watching it, I'm like, I shot it like that? Form was terrible, quick release and everything, but it was just falling. So one shot, he tried to like shake me, like try to get me up. I hit it, hit the shot. He's walking away like he did. I patted him on his back. It's on camera, it's on my Instagram. And I'm like, in that moment, I wasn't thinking of, this is disrespectful. No, I was like, all right, yo, you got me, good luck next time. Like very simple, but watching it, I'm like, that hurt. And the funny thing is, like with the whole Mr. Polite thing, I've been playing like that forever. But it's funny because I come off as, I come off humble, and that's just the way I am. I play to have a good time. I'm very chill. I'll get moments where I'm getting in my bag and I get serious and it's like, all right, we gotta work something out. But for the most part, I'm talking like that on a regular. So if somebody has great defense, I'm gonna tell you, yo, good defense. You got me on that one. Even if I hit the shot, like I'm just naturally talking. And it's funny how that picked up, because now it's like everybody's saying it. Like everywhere I go, people are saying, yo, excuse me. And it's programmed in my mind just like everybody else's now.
Nice. Go ahead, T.
So Mac, check this out, man. I can remember it was a Saturday we was playing pickup in LA. And you was coming down. and Money was backpedaling instead of stopping, trying to slide his feet, and you whoop, whoop, and he took down. I said, oh my God. And that was something basic. The question I have for you, man, is when nobody's not looking, what are some of the drills and mechanics and things that you did along the way, man, to get your handle as tight as it is right now, man?
Yo, you know what? That's a great freaking question. So I'm gonna be honest, I don't do drills. Or at the time of people doing drills, it wasn't a thing for me. I grew up in the age of and one. So with the story of bringing up my brother, he's the one that actually showed me and one. And it's funny because he plays nothing like it, but I'm the one who took the favor from it. So he came home, he bought his pair of sneakers. He had a VHS tape and one on it. I watched it, skipped to my Lou volume one. That moment changed my life. Skip, that whole DVD, has, no, sorry, not the DVD, the whole VHS, the whole tape literally painted in my mind how fun basketball is. Like skipping down the lane, showing off, like the New York style of play has so much swagger. I love it. Like, I feel like I'm from New York on the inside. Like they just have so much swag, so much style when they play. And I love the flash and flare. So with me, after watching the movies, then volume two came out, volume three, man, I go straight to my front lock, not my front yard. I go straight to like my driveway or the sidewalk. And I just do a bunch of dribbling. Like I'm just trying to do the moves and I don't care what it was. And obviously as a sidewalk, the sidewalk's only a certain space big. So now my mindset is obviously if the ball falls out of my hand, it's going to go in the street. It's probably the ball is going to get popped or it's going to hit the dirt and then it's going to just be a dirty ball. So in my mind, I already painted out my space. So I'm just doing, just dribbling, doing all the moves that I want to the point where I got comfortable with it. And this is when I'm in like fifth grade, sixth grade. That's all I was doing. Seventh grade, I was known as the kid with the handles. The worst part is that I really didn't have a jump shot. So I'm going to the parks, killing for the crossovers and driving. But then once high school came, I didn't make it on the team. I didn't try out. I had life responsibilities. But I was still dangerous with the rock. So people kind of was like, yo, if Mac is dribbling, yo, nah, we don't want to get mixed. We're not going to get mixed. Then they just like, somebody exposed me. That one moment changed probably the last 2 years of my high school career. They were like, yo, back up. He can't cross you if you're playing back. So I was forced to shoot. Once I got exposed to me not having a jumper, that made me work harder because now it's like, dag, I can't put on a show. I can't entertain. I can't cross nobody. If y'all are at half court, no, if I'm at half court, y'all are farther back. Like, I want to take you 94. Like, I want to go all down. But it didn't happen. Then college came. College, I tried out for my school. I was the last cut, and it was bad. Like, I was heated. But then right then and there in that moment, I took basketball a little bit more serious because I want to develop myself as a player. I wanted to be respected. I felt like I was disrespected because, yo, you only play street ball. Yo, this is not going to do nothing for you. That's a whole nother turn now, but it's like, yo, you're not doing nothing. So I took my jump shot serious, started off with mid-range, literally intentionally not shooting any threes in games, stepping in mid-range, shooting the one, shooting the two, however y'all do the math. Mid-range until I got comfortable, then took a step out. And once I got comfortable with that, then now it's just high rate and whatever. So now I mix the two. You gonna back up and not let me cross you? All right, here we go. Now I'm launching. So that's the whole backstory in the fast-forwarded version.
So, Mac, let me ask you this other question. So we've seen the genesis of street ball in the early 2000s and everybody was skipping to my Lou and Hot Sauce and then the professor. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. Kids was going inside. Kids wasn't outside no more, whether it be violence or people taking the rims down, gentrification, a whole bunch of things you could add into that. AAU circuit took off, traveling ball took off, and then it was just dead halted. Cats would still play outside, but the flair was a little bit different. They would just hoop. But somehow, you've been coined as the person to resurrect street ball. Talk about you never losing that in terms of your DNA.
Face mask and all.
All that, yeah. So talk about that being a part of your DNA, saying, you know what, street ball, as long as I'm around, never going to die. And then I also want to ask you, what is one of your favorite street ball moves to perform as well?
Okay, got you. I'm going to try to remember in that sequence. So honestly, that was it. Like, your question is exactly the answer. a lot of players, a lot of people chose the AAU route, chose the traveling team. And obviously, me not being able to play in college and have the team background, I was rooting for everybody who did it. And obviously, you know, I'm a big person with, when I run with the kids, I don't train them, but, you know, I play ball with them. But on the same time, with the one thing that people don't see is that I'm actually talking to them and inspiring them as well, because they don't expect me to have handles. They don't expect me to do anything. But at the moment, I'm like, yo, you playing in school, you're doing this, yo, you're already better than me because you have the opportunity that I don't have. So I'm pumping that into the system so they know they can, they still have a chance. But then where I fit in is I like the unexpectedness. Like I guess I'm comfortable with now with being underestimated, because then that gives me the run to do whatever I want. If you don't know what to expect from me, perfect. Then that means there's no expectations, there's no ceiling, there's no roof, there's, I can do whatever and nobody's stopping me. But to capitalize on it myself, man, it's crazy because I've been playing like this. You know, like I said, T, you know, I've been playing with handles, flashy, no-look passes on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So now it's just, I'm just recording it. I got inspired by my boys in the West Coast. Somebody tagged me in one of my boys' videos and they're like, yo, you play just like him. And I'm like, for real? I'm watching this footage and I'm like, yo, I do play just like you, and it's scary. Then me and him started talking and, you know, it started becoming a theme where I'm like, yo, you know what? I'm gonna record myself playing. When the time is right, I'm gonna record. I started recording some games here and there. Then COVID hit and it really took everything by storm. So it kind of put a big stop. But in my neighborhood, they put the hoops back up, I want to say in July. This is where kind of everything just kind of exploded. I started in July 25th to be exact. I played ball, recorded. My game was terrible. Like, I was rusty. I haven't played ball in 5 months since they closed the leagues down. So I was terrible. Gave myself a week. Things started picking up. The flow started coming back. The rhythm started coming back. Then it just, it kind of blew up from there. And I feel like with my style, it is reminiscing of, yo, this is where streetball is to the people who know. But the people who don't know, they're like, yo, who is this dude? Because now you have the I don't want to say the Ball Is Life crowd, because that's actually changing now. But like the hoop mixtapes, those kids got moves. They got handles. But everything they do is more fundamentally sound in a way with a little bit of spice. Just like 1-2, ooh, that was a good one. Then, you know, you have those prodigies that come out and they just kill it with the way they play. But I feel like it's just like Nintendo. Like, you can never get rid of the old. You can never get rid of the classic. I can play Super Mario 1 right now and be fine. I feel like that's the same way I'm playing now. Like, I give the flair, I give the style, I give the presence, I give the entertainment, I give you the buckets. Like, I'm doing everything that basketball asks you to. I'm just adding a little bit more flavor to it. And I think where I'm at now is exactly what I said before. On social media, I'm blowing up because to the guys our age, they're like, yo, we remember this. Then the kids who never seen it before, they're like, yo, this is fire. I put the video game effects on top of it because that's one of my favorite games. NBA Street Volume 2 is my favorite. Yeah. So it's like giving that flair, giving that special spice. And due to that, I see a lot of people have their mixtapes out. I see a lot of people putting their own videos together and everything like that. And it's dope. Like, it's great. But I make videos myself. And I've seen the plan. I see how people make it. After a while, I'm like, yo, what can I do to make it different? So I started off with a creative player with the font and everything. Then I was like, let me take this a step farther. Then I started putting the moves up, the points. And everything from there literally started growing. I had 2,000 followers October. Yeah, I had 2,000 followers from July all the way to like
man,
October.
Man, stop being humble, bro. You got 36K in counting, man. Talk your talk, man.
I'm actually at 41.3.
My fault.
Don't short that, man. Give him his props.
Pardon me, man.
Yo, honestly, it's a blessing, man. I can't help but be humble, man. But it's crazy. This is the fastest blow up I've even seen. Only 5-6 months, The joints make it. And I'm making better moves coming in the future, but I can't really say that right now under contract reasons.
Understood.
So things is happening, man.
What I admire most about it is you having fun all the way through. Like, you can actually see some of that joy in what you're doing. Even some of the videos where you poke fun at some of the things. Like, I was cracking up watching you throw the ball off the back of Shorty's head. And no, then he's standing there like, what am I doing? I'm never coming back.
Honestly, that was a bittersweet video, though. And to answer to EJ's question, yo, my favorite move, I call it the mix and match. I run in one direction, throw it behind my back, force my body to look one way, and then spin. Once I get that, it's like people get caught in that because they really think I'm a spin. Mm-hmm. No, they think I'm going to change directions, and they get caught trying to reach. I'm on the other side. So that's that one. That's probably my favorite one. But with that video, man, that was unplanned. Honestly, I didn't know what to do after that video blew up. Because, yo, I even offered the kid, I'm like, yo, let me take you to dinner, man. Like, this is,
I don't know, politely disrespectful again.
Yo, I can't help it. I felt bad.
Yo, Mac, how you gonna ask that kid to break bread after you just did that to him like that?
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what going viral meant until it happened. And I'm like, yo, everybody's talking about him, bashing him. Yo, you're trash. Yo, you can't even be on the court no more. And I'm like, yo, I know people that commit suicide over stuff like this, dog. I'm like, yo, if I'm the one who caused the problem, let me help it. Let me. But it was bad though. That was bad. And now all those moves was old, but right. you see the fun in it. That's exactly where I want to be. If I'm not having fun, then we have to level.
That's it important, out. Man. I can dig it.
Yeah.
So, yo, Mac, got a couple more questions for you, but real quick.
Yeah.
What was it like, bro, when you seen yourself, quote unquote, go viral, or not even that, bro? But seeing the retweets, and my main question is, what was it like to be on ESPN? Like, we can talk about all the outlets in the media, and I want you to get into those too and talk about those briefly as well. But yo, bro, like, did you get a tag, or somebody DM you, somebody text you like, yo, you see this is everywhere? And then when you seen that go on ESPN, man, what was your thought process on that, bro?
So the first time I went viral, and that was shocking because I didn't know what it was. I just seen Overtime posted you on Insta or on Twitter. I seen it on Twitter and I'm like, yo, that's dope. Dang, it looks like I need to stop posting more on Twitter, I guess, because if that's where everybody's at. And then they posted it on Facebook. This is where it gets big. They go on Facebook and I'm like, oh shoot, Facebook. And I'm getting mad hate slander in the comments. They hate me on Facebook. Then after that, it gets posted on Instagram. Once it gets posted on Instagram, now the flow started happening. People are tagging me, everything like that. My followers started going up. My Facebook numbers, yo, 6.3 million views on that video. And I'm like, yo, this is nuts. Like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have no merch. I'm just a ball player. And now the professional, now my brother kind of took hold. It was like, yo, you need to do this. You need to do that. So now I had to get myself in a business mindset because now I can literally become a brand. This moment can make you or
capitalize. Just go buy
you. Yeah. You can see the road I took. So I'm like, fuck that. So once I understood the game, I'm like, okay, and now I'm gonna make certain videos that I know fit what I'm doing. So now this is where the ESPN side comes. I have many different sides to my content. I have moments where I'm mic'd up and I'm just talking so people hear me. I have moments where I call them mistapes. I do a nice move, throw a beautiful pass, somebody misses it. That's content. I have another one where I do a max shot. I shoot, as you see in the logo, I shoot, I turn around before it goes in. That's a thing that people want to see. So now, if I step on a ball court, my content is endless. It can be a good game, bad game, or whatever. I'm getting content. So I use that. How ESPN happened was, ironically enough, I was in my feelings in a moment because I killed some dude on Instagram, basketball-wise. I posted it a long time ago. Then some way, somehow, he found me, obviously going viral. People are going to see you. People started tagging him. He gets mad. Yo, bro, you're not even all that good. Yo, show them the rest of the footage. Dog, he only scored 3 points on me the whole day. And like I told you, I worked on my jump shot. This dude talking about, yo, back up. We got 7. We're going to win anyway. I'm gonna just let you shoot. Stupid. What? What? Like, you're letting me shoot. And in the footage, he's backing up to like under the hoop to think he's gonna get a rebound. He's just helping me out. So, okay, he's commenting, he's all in my comments, hating on every single video. I go on TikTok, boom, notification. Yo, you're gonna leave ESPN on red? What are you talking about? And it wasn't even for that video. That was another thing. It was for a whole different video. Yo, you're gonna leave ESPN on red? I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? So I'm going through my notifications and I'm seeing my followers jump up. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? So I'm scrolling, trying to look. Lo and behold, right there, ESPN blue check. Hey, is this your content? We would like to use your video and post it on all of our pages. I'm like, no, are you serious? I respond, yeah, go ahead, do your thing. And it was 20 minutes late. So it was like, I could have missed that moment. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. The video that they used was the excuse me video. So the way that video happened, and that was on TikTok. So the whole management of TikTok is very different from Instagram because you can respond to people's comments with video. So I did a move. I said something like, yo, is this move a travel? I jumped through two people. I threw the ball behind my back. Dude reached. I put the ball over his head and laid it up. And when I did that, I said, excuse me, went for the layup. People in the comments, they always notice the little things. So they were like, yo, he's polite. Yo, did he just say, excuse me? Da-da-da. So I responded to a comment with a compilation of me saying, excuse me, because I do it all the time. Then I did that, posted that video. Then ESPN hits. Once I seen that, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Now I'm on the phone with my boy, like, yo, ESPN just hit me up. I want to say 30 minutes, 40 minutes after they posted it.
Out of here.
That was it.
Out of here.
Yeah, completely. I'm seeing my video everywhere. People are using it. People are using the sound on TikTok. They use it for other things. I seen somebody use that same sound for football. And it's just dope because I'm like, yo, this is me. I'm like, I got used to it now, but it's crazy because it's just a phrase. It's just when you use it, how effective it is. And I'm comfortable. Like I said, my first viral experience, I was mad nervous. Now I'm here. I'm like, I'm good. And the thing is, SportsCenter posted the other one. SportsCenter posted the one when I bounced the ball off the dude's head. Yeah. They posted that one. They posted it on the top five on Snapchat, and I was number one. So that's one. Then SportsCenter hit me up to use another one of my footage. And then they was like, they took it down. They posted it, took it down, and then posted the old one of me. So they used it again. So this one's ESPN, and that moment happened. So I have many different clips that have gone blown up. So I'm just like, I'm happy. Like, I know how to do it. I think I broke the code on going viral. And it's not like I'm reaching for it. I'm playing ball and I'm having fun. It's just I know how to edit it to mean whatever I want it to mean. And ESPN hit me up. And then honestly, so many opportunities after that came up because everybody's using my video. My name is on it. People are hitting me up. Yo, excuse me, all in my comments, all in my DMs. People trying to reach out to actually play me. Some people are just like, yo, how'd you get your handles right? Yo, how do you shoot? Yo, it's been big, man. It's global, though. It is global. People are hitting me up in Spanish.
You got to get Google Translate on there now.
I've done it.
That's what's up, guys, eh?
So let me ask you this, fam. So with all this notoriety coming real, real quick, man, who would you like to play or who would you like to put together in terms of maybe a street ball tournament, an and-one reunion tour, man? What would be your ultimate street ball moment right now, as yep. We exist right now in April? What is it for you?
Absolutely. So I think I do have five.
Okay.
I would say, and this is just on the strength of street ball. I'm going to go with my boy, King Handles.
Okay.
He's still rocking. Me and him are actually really tight. So King Handles, I would go with my boy, Dad. Do I have to have five?
You got more, right? Do you think?
Okay. I'm going to go with my squad, the Playground. So that's Kyle Celos. That's 2-1 Sean. These are up and coming content creators. Kyle actually plays ball with Professor, so that's a good connection. I'm going to go with my guy, One Foot God. His name is Jordan Sutherland. He's been in all the dunk contests that you've seen, like on the street. He's been killing. My boy, Ant One. Yeah, Ant One. And then I would go with Hezzy God. Hezzy God from California. God.
Yeah.
Me and him are really tight. I would go with the combo god. His name was Nothing Was Handed. He's nice.
Yeah.
I would put on White Iverson. I would put on White Iverson on the squad as well, and along with myself. I think that as a tour itself would be nuts. And my boy Adam Upzet, he's the other dude with one hand that can shoot. Yeah, so I think with that, we would make a run, man, for real.
Got you.
Hopefully I didn't miss anybody, because I know that would be a moment that all of them would appreciate.
Yeah, I'll go viral too.
Word. Yo, I'm telling you, the things I have in my mind, I'm planning for something crazy this year. This is definitely my year, and everything is already moving. I just can't wait to show everybody. I'm gonna put it that way.
Understood. Well, listen, Mac, it's been a pleasure for you to be on the stoop today, man. Word. Giving us your journey, giving us your jewels, talking about street ball, man, talking about going viral. But before we go, what? I gotta say and ask you one more thing, man. Being from the Bean, man, I'm going to make you the coach. Give me your all-time favorite 5 Celtic players of all time, man.
Oh, Larry, Paul. I'm going to go Rondo as a guard.
Yo, that's Larry, such a storied franchise.
It is. That's the tough part. I'm going to have to go KG. I need that intensity. Can I get Shaq in his prime, but on the Celtics?
No.
Nah, you can't do that.
That number 36 Shaq is not the one.
Y'all ended it for him, really.
Yeah, that was it. It was a done deal.
Yeah, nah, then I would definitely put on Ray Allen in that suit.
Okay, Ray. Got you.
Keep it young and moving. That's where I would go, dog.
Definitely. Well, listen, once again, bro, man, it's a pleasure, man, to have you up on the stoop. It's an honor as well, man, knowing you, knowing your family, and know how y'all took care of me and my time in the Bean, man. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. And listen, man, whatever you got going on in the future, man, we wish you all the best with it, man, and we salute you, Mac.
Word. Definitely. I appreciate even being on here, man. It was a great experience. And obviously, I know y'all have some great stuff lined up yourself, and I know that y'all are getting this thing moving. So I appreciate even being invited to this great platform, and I wish all the Stoop the best as well. And y'all know where to reach me. I'm here. I am Mac_07.
Definitely. And anything else we can catch you on, Mac, go ahead and plug it right now. Any sites, any way to get the merch, talk to us, bro. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So for merchandise like this that you see, it's in my store. It's called MacShot.store. And then also you can find me on Instagram at IamMac_07. Then on TikTok, it is that Mac. So I am Mac on Instagram, is that Mac on TikTok. So it kind of is a play on. So that's where I'm at. That's where you can find me. Follow me. I respond. Just be respectful. Please and thank you.
I got it. All right, bro. Thank you so much, man. For my guy, Kev P, it's been another great episode of The Stoop. Until next time, we'll see y'all soon.